can't hide. Come on up. Come on down. You're the next contestant on Win a Prize. Okay, can you tell us something that you're happy about that happened last year?
This past school year. El Salvador.
Was that good? Did you learn any Spanish? Oh, you do? Oh, let me show the picture. She's even got proof. This is great. She's got lots of babies.
Sweet.
That's nice. Okay, so we got some good stuff planned for this evening. We're going to do a little bit of worship, a little loud worship. We got a speaker who's wonderful who's going to come and talk to us today. And I actually want to introduce her to you right now. Her name is Kat. Everyone say hi, Kat.
Hey, Kat.
Kat's great. She's a university student at York University. And she has two, York. She's got two passions. The first one is the Food Network. So she likes to bake and cook and stuff like that. So she might have some cookies hidden on her somewhere. So if you see her afterwards, find her. And I heard they're really, really good. Okay. The second thing is her passion is what she's going to be doing tonight. Just encouraging youth and students and their passion and their desire and their journey for Christ. So she's going to come up a little bit later and she's going to share her heart with us. And so then we have some wonderful food and games and stuff afterwards. So hang out and have a good time. Okay. Ready to go? Okay, I found my guitar. Okay, you guys ready?
Yeah.
Yes.
gospel, blessing God in the good times and the bad times. And although we're here to celebrate tonight, I think there may be some of us here who look back this past school year and might think, you know what, there's some things that didn't really go so well. You know, there might have been some difficulties, some, there could have been some tragedies at home or with friends, or your grades might be the tragedy that happened last year, or, you know, there could have been some kind of thing that, you know, you didn't really praise God about. So as we sing this song today, I just want to look back on those situations and see if, you know, could we have blessed God despite the difficulties that we faced? We have blessed God in the good times and in the bad times. And as we go forward, this year ends and we start a new one, make that our promise to move forward, to continue to bless God despite our circumstances.
The door is closing.
Let's take a seat and take a look at this quick video that we have for you.
Wisdom is important in our lives because it helps us to lead the right path. I mean, we learn from our experiences or other people's experiences, whether they be good or bad. We learn from them and hopefully we'll make a better situation out of our future decisions in life. I think God wants us to know Him more, because He wants us to live our lives to the fullest. And when we know Him more, we know more about Him, the Bible, His teachings, what He was about. And in such, I think we'll gain to appreciate God and His love for us. And hopefully that will show in our daily lives, and maybe other people will want to know about what makes us so happy or what makes us tick. In Jeremiah 29:13, it says, "And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart." And I find that God wants all of our heart because He wants us to find Him. And when we find Him, we find joys in life and just the happiness. And with that, it's just a fulfillment, and we can learn to appreciate God and all that He gives us.
Light, space, zest, that's God. So with Him on my side, I'm fearless, afraid of no one and nothing. I'm asking God for one thing, only one thing, to live with Him in His house my whole life long. I'll contemplate His beauty, I'll study at His feet. That's the only quiet, secure place in a noisy world, the perfect getaway. Far from the buzz of traffic, I'm headed for His place to offer anthems that will raise the roof. Already I'm singing God songs, I'm making music to God. Point me down the highway, God. Direct me along a well-lighted street. I'm sure now I'll see God's goodness in the exuberant earth. Stay with God. Take heart. Don't quit. I'll say it again. Stay with God.
Would you stand with us as we continue to worship?
to be in the truth. There's love and daily lift my head. Hold on the same when your love came down.
Dear God, I pray that we just lift up all of these youth here tonight, God. I thank you so much for bringing us all together. It's been a while since we've all seen each other. And tonight, God, we want to celebrate what you've done for us in this past year. I pray that you help us to just reflect on all of the good things, all the doors that you've opened in our lives, God. And Lord, for those of us who are waiting on you tonight, God, I pray that you just really make yourself known tonight, God. Help everyone here to know the amazing, wonderful purpose and plan that you have for their life, God. I pray that you bless the rest of the evening, and thank you again for bringing us here tonight, Lord. In your name, amen.
Sovereign Lord, there is no one like you. We have never even heard of another God like you. And now, O Lord God, I am your servant. Do as you have promised concerning me and my family. Confirm it as a promise that will last forever. And may your name be honored forever, so that everyone will say, the Lord of heaven's armies is God over Israel. And may the house of your servant David continue before you forever.
Oh,
doing tonight? Good? I heard three of you. How's everyone doing tonight? Okay, why don't all of you just stand up and just do each other a quick shoulder massage to wake each other. Awesome. Actually, the person who led me to Christ is actually sitting here. Wave. It's a little awkward, but she led me to Christ in grade 9, and I'm so thankful that I came to know the Lord, because God is the most amazing thing that I've ever encountered in my whole life thus far. And I accepted Christ in grade 9, and I accepted him in something similar to this. It was called Teens Conference, and it's something that happens every March. Predominantly, it's attended by thousands of Chinese kids, so, but you guys are more than welcome to come and join us in March. It usually takes place around the Toronto, Richmond Hill area. So I accepted Christ in there, and right when I came to know him, I got excited about what he was doing in my high school. I joined my high school fellowship. I went to Earl Haig Secondary School. It's in North York. And I attended my fellowship called Footprints, and I also got involved in my high school fellowship at church, like I'm sure some of you are today. And it was in those places that I saw that God was doing something special amongst the high school students. And as I was there, it wasn't until grade 12 that I really felt that God was calling my life and a bunch of other youth's lives to do something great for him. Who has ever heard of the school Unionville High School?
Yeah!
Yeah, okay. I was supposed to go there, but I moved. So, Unionville High School. I know, yeah, Unionville High School. And one of my friends, Alex, he was the do you know Alex? Alex Lee? I love him. Alex Lee, he was the president the chair of the fellowship at Unionville High School that one year. And we were really good friends, and they decided to hold a worship concert for their school. And if you've ever been to Unionville High School, you'll know that their cafeteria looks a bit like Fairview Mall. It's there's indoor trees, and it looks like a mall inside. So they invited some of the other schools to go attend this worship night at Unionville High School. And I went, and what really, really hit me that night and what was so amazing was it was just a bunch of high school students from all different high schools who gathered in Unionville High School cafeteria to worship God. And there's janitors in the background, you know, sweeping away the lockers. And I couldn't believe it. It was the first time in my teenage life that I would think that on a Thursday night after school, so many, around 50 students would gather in a school cafeteria to worship God. And as I was worshiping that night, my eyes were closed. I saw a picture in my mind, and God gave me this funny vision. And what I saw was thousands of young people your age worshiping him together in this place called Mel Lastman Square. I'm not sure, hands up if you know where Mel Lastman Square is. Some of you. It's in the Toronto area. It's the North York City Hall, and it's this outdoor auditorium. And then all of a sudden I had this picture of thousands of young people worshiping in Mel Lastman Square. And I'm like, whoa, wait a second. I didn't eat dinner, so I might be seeing things. But I don't know what it was, but I kept it to myself. Mainly because I thought it was crazy. So I didn't tell anyone, and it wasn't until a few weeks later, my youth pastor at my church, he invited me to attend a conference called Change Your World, and I think some of you might have been there before. And that year, there was a speaker there, and his name was Bruce Wilkinson, and he's the guy who wrote Prayer of Jabez. Some of you might be familiar with that. Tim Hughes was leading worship, so that was an awesome, awesome night. I was there for Jesus and to me. But we were there, we were worshiping, and Bruce Wilkinson, he went up and he began to share and he began to talk about dreaming big for God. And the illustration that he gave was a lot of times when we want to dream big or we want to do something for God, we often pick things that are very small that we can achieve for ourselves. And it really spoke out to me because if we did something small and attainable that we could get ourselves, what's the point of asking God for it? But if we ask God to do the imaginable, something that we could not possibly do by ourselves, that's dreaming big. And when he was talking about that, my heart was just pounding because I knew that God was bringing up that vision I had a few weeks ago about having a worship concert at Mel Lastman Square. So I'm really nervous about altar calls. I don't usually like walking up and everyone's looking at you. So, oh, that person is sinning. They're going to repent. I don't usually like that. But at the end of the message, I knew that God was telling me to go up and to be faithful and to be obedient to what he was telling me to do, even though I didn't know what I was doing. So I went up, and at the end of the night, I went up to Bruce Wilkinson, and I shared with him what I thought I saw. And I told him, hello, Mr. Wilkinson, can you sign my book? I wanted to share with you something that I felt God was putting on my heart. And I just told him about the vision where I saw thousands of young people worshiping at Mel Lastman Square. And in the middle of telling him, he interrupts me. He looks me straight in the eye, and he says, what's holding you back? And then I go on. I'm 16. I don't know who to talk to. I just found out who Mel Lastman was. I don't know what to do. And then he stopped me right there. He interrupted me again. He said, I want you. He looks me square in the eyes. He said, I want you to go to Mel Lastman Square and to demand the city authorities to give you use of the square for free. And when he said that, because I was 16, I said, yes. I'm like, I'm going to do it. Yes. So after I said yes, I realized what I just committed myself to. And I like to be a person of my words. So I knew that this was something that God was serious about. So Earl Hague Secondary School, my high school, is really, really close to Mel Lastman Square. It's 5 minutes walk away. So one day after school, my friend Carrie and myself, we decided to walk around Mel Lastman Square, and we started praying for the land. And we started praying that God would show us what he wanted to do with this vision. So as we were walking around, we started thinking, since we're here, why don't we go upstairs to City Hall and just see if there's a person available to talk to us. So here we are in our school bags, our lunch bags, our textbooks, and a vision in our mind. We decided to go upstairs, and we talked to the receptionist, and we're like, hi, we're wondering, could we please speak to the person in charge of Mel Aspen Square? And then her answer was amazing. She's like, oh, actually, she's free right now. Let me take you to see her. So with our backpacks and our lunchbox and our textbooks, we went to her office, and we had no vision. We had no sheet with our proposal or whatever. So we just went up to her, and we sat down, and we just started to share with her. We just started to share. We want to hold a, sort of like a worship concert at Mel Aspen Square. And for those of you who aren't familiar with, I guess, booking events like this, it usually takes a year in advance to book. It usually takes hundreds of dollars to pay for something like this. And before we even asked her if we could have the square and to use the square, she said to us, how would you like to use the square for free on June 21st, Friday evening? And we were just flabbergasted. We didn't know what to say, because we were 16, and we had our backpacks, and we had our textbooks, and we just had a vision. And I wasn't crazy. And God had started something that we knew was miraculous. We knew that this could not be an accident, that God had shown us his favor and given us this use of this square for free that usually takes a year in advance to book, usually takes hundreds of dollars to put a deposit on. So we were very, very shocked. So right away we went back and we called all our high school friends. And I'm sure a lot of you guys have really good networks and connections with other high schools. I'm sure that you don't know just the people in your high school. So we started calling other people. We called Alex. We talked to other people from other schools. And we said, you know, we need to get together and we need to pray. So it happened so fast. The next week, about 20 or so people came to my church in our basement. And these are I didn't know three quarters of the people. But they were student leaders from all different high schools around Toronto, around Markham, around Richmond Hill, who heard about something, about this girl who had this vision, and they wanted to come and find out more about it. And at the beginning of the night, we didn't know each other. But after sharing what I believe God was doing, at the end of the night, all 20 of us were on our knees, arms around each other, crying out for our generation. And we were crying out that God would do a move in our generation. And from that point on, that's when the movement called Youth on a Hill began. After that day, we decided we want to meet every week to pray for our schools, to pray for each other, to pray for a revival in our generation. So we would meet on a Tuesday night at Carey's Church, and we started off as a group of 20. And the next week, it grew to 30. And the next week, it grew to 40, and then 60, and then 80. Imagine. I don't know about you guys, but when I was in high school, prayer meetings weren't the most hip and happening place to go. Like, I didn't want to go to prayer meetings on Fridays. I didn't want to do stuff like that. But 80 young people on their own accord, nobody forcing them, nobody pulling their teeth, having a desire and a passion to come and seek the Lord for their generation. So 80 of us would gather every night to pray and to worship and to ask God for the salvation of our high school, salvation of our junior highs. And as word of this event, word of this movement began to spread, we began to have support from all over, not just the local support from some churches, but also global support. We started getting emails from Japan saying, hi, we heard about what you guys are doing. We just want you to know that we're praying for you. We got a call from Starbucks saying, hey, we heard you're putting an event on at Mel Aspen Square. We want to bring free Frappuccinos for your people who are coming. We got another call. Hi, we're Krispy Kreme. We want to donate a couple of boxes of donuts for you. Hi, we're Staples. We want to donate pencils for decision cards. So we all of a sudden we start getting all this secular support, and we don't even know how it spread. Once again, 16-year-olds, 18, 17-year-olds, having this little idea to do a worship concert and then having the word spread like fire. And as we started getting support from secular organizations, Christian organizations started coming alongside of us as well. Canadian Youth Network, as I'm sure all of you are familiar with, came in support of us, and as well as Canadian Bible Society. So I think you get the picture that a lot of people were beginning to support us. And as the day got closer and closer to June 21st, we weren't so much excited about the event anymore. We were just excited about what God was doing at our Tuesday prayer meetings at Grace Chinese Gospel Church. That's what we were excited about. We were excited because people like myself, who didn't necessarily have a lot of courage to share my faith with my friends, decided to start praying for my friends at my locker, decided to start talking to people randomly about Jesus. And not only was it me, but I saw 80 people plus who decided they would take their faith with Jesus seriously. And if we didn't even have the event, those Tuesday prayer meetings would have been worth it, because I believe that in those meetings, revival, the Spirit of God fell down and revival was there. So lo and behold, June 21st comes around and we were all excited because this is the day that we were looking forward to. We had under two months to plan this event. And as the day came around, it was a beautiful sunny day, kind of like yesterday, pretty hot, pretty sticky. And we were all getting ready and we had, like I told you in the beginning, Mount Lassen Square is an open auditorium. So it's open. There's no cover, there's nothing. So as we were setting up, the worship band was practicing, the dance team was practicing. One of our friends, he was speaking, he was getting ready, and we were all excited because we knew God had something special in store for us. And around 5:30, around that time, as the night was beginning to happen, all of a sudden, clouds just started filling the sky. And outdoor, right? Clouds started filling the sky, and it started getting darker and darker. And then all of a sudden, as 6:30 turns around, as the worship team is doing their sound check, getting everything started, a drop of rain came down, and then another drop, and then another drop. And then God took a bucket of water and threw it down on us, and it was pouring. It was a type of rain where it's kind of like a monsoon. Like, it was pretty bad. It was just started raining, and everything was getting wet. People were scrambling with garbage bags trying to cover up the wires. For those of you who do sound the soundboard at the back, you know how expensive equipment is. And we were borrowing everything because we were 16. So we were covering everything with garbage bags. People were running around. Everyone was calling us, is this still on? Is this still on? Is this still on? And what would our answer be? What could our answer be? If God was so faithful for carrying us thus far, why wouldn't he continue to finish what he started in the beginning? So we would say, of course it's happening. And people kept pouring. Krispy Kreme was there with their little truck handing out those Frappuccino things. And Starbucks was, and then we had a free barbecue going on, and people kept coming, and people kept coming. And at around 7 o'clock, the worship team got up, and they were singing, I Could Sing of Your Love Forever. And there's a part in the song where it says, open up the skies. Does it say open up the skies? Open up our eyes? Oh, open up something about the skies. And as they were literally singing that lyric, open up something, the skies, the clouds parted, and the sun came out right when the evening was about to start. And as we looked around, there were 5,000 young people gathered to worship God. And that is something in my life that I will never forget. That's my story. That's my life story. And I know that wherever I go, wherever I speak, this is something that I always carry with me. And the reason why I'm saying, oh, there was 5,000 people in the pouring rain, isn't to boast about the numbers, isn't to boast about something that we did. But what we saw that night was undeniably God. It was undeniably something that he did himself. And we were just completely awestruck because God had came and God was faithful to what he had shown us. So we were really excited. And after the event, like all events, we're excited to celebrate, like what you're doing here tonight. You're celebrating an amazing year you had in your high schools or in your ministries. And we decided to keep on going. We decided to keep the Tuesday prayer meetings going. We didn't want to stop. Next year, we drew a huge map, and we targeted all the schools in Greater Toronto Area. We drew a huge map, and we did dots. And what we would do, it's a huge canvas. We would pray over these dots for the different high schools, for the different junior highs. And it was really exciting because the momentum was building, everybody was getting excited, and we were also in our last year of high school. And we knew inevitably that we would have to leave one day, and we would have to go to university and move on to the next phase in our life. And we truly believe that Youth on a Hill, which is based on the verses in Matthew 5, verse 14 to 16, would always remain a high school-driven ministry. It's not an organization. It's not a charity. It's not a parachurch organization. It's a movement. And the movement, basically, this verse entails the whole thing. And the verse is, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, so that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. And we believe that that was the very core of what we wanted to do. It wasn't so much about putting on an event. It wasn't so much about doing great things and bringing people together, but it was about living that mandate, as all of us Christians have, is to be the light of this world, to be a city on a hill, to be youth on a hill, that we are obvious bearers of his light. So as I continue on with this story, it gets a little grim, and I don't want you to get discouraged, because there's always a happy ending to any God story, right? But as we graduated, as our generation graduated, we decided to pass on this movement to some of our younger friends who were in the lower grades in high school and in junior high, and we passed the baton because we believe that, once again, Youth on a Hill, or YOA, we would call it. YOA was a high school movement. So as we moved on to university, the high school students took on this ministry. And for some reason, which I know that God in his infinite wisdom had a reason for, but for some reason, those prayer meetings grew smaller and smaller and smaller. And the passion seemed to get less and less and less. And it's not to say that those who had leadership, that they did a bad job, because they didn't. They did an excellent job. They stood in the gap when nobody would stand in the gap for their schools. But for some reason, God decided to let this spark kind of fizzle out a bit. And when I heard about it, and when some of the other original leaders heard about what had happened, we were really discouraged and we were really heavy burdened, because we truly believe that God started something amazing, and we had no idea why he would take it away so fast. And I would ask myself a question. I'm like, is he mad at me? Did I do something wrong? Do I have to come up for an altar call? Like, what do I need to do to make things right? And I had no idea. But I knew that something that made such a loud noise, something that made such a loud change, an overnight transformation, fizzled out so quickly. So I wanted to share that part with you, because I felt it was important, and you'll understand why it's important in just a little bit. But before all that, there was a lot to celebrate. But then after that, we had a lot of questions to ask. When I entered university, myself and another leader, we were invited to share at different churches and different events just like this about the story that God did. And every time we would share, we would always exclude that little part that I just shared with you. We wouldn't say, oh, it's over now, it fizzled out, there's nothing left of it. We would never say that, because we didn't want people to be discouraged. But maybe in some ways, we were afraid that maybe we had failed in some way. So we would never share that part. But as I started sharing about the story of Youth on the Hill at different events, it became my second nature to me. I knew the right things to say. I knew what I need to say, the sequence of my talk and so forth. But the more I talked about this conviction that I had a couple years ago, the less it was a conviction for me in my life. And the more that happened, the more I realized that I was moving further from what I had originally wanted this whole movement to be about Matthew 5, 14 to 16. And I was becoming, what I felt, almost a hypocrite, because I would be preaching and then I wouldn't be living the life that I was supposed to be living, the life that I always proclaimed to others that they should be living. So at the end of the day, what I realized was that in our walks with God, and that in things that God calls us to do, we may not always have that same fervor and that same faithfulness that we had during the exciting times. And today, I know it's all about celebration, and I don't want to become, oh, this is a downer message, I don't want to listen anymore. This is not a downer message. What I want to show all of you tonight is a lesson that God taught me out of those post-YOA days of what it means to actually be a youth on a hill. So this is the lesson that he taught me, and I just want to share a little bit of it with you. I have a friend, and she wrote a song called A Quiet Revolution. And as I'm sure a lot of you have picked up, Youth on a Hill was not a quiet revolution. It was a pretty loud one, and it was one that got a lot of people's attention. It had a little bit of controversy. It was loud. People noticed, and change was almost overnight and immediate. And it fizzled out quickly. But what God was teaching me wasn't so much about let's change the world and let's make a loud noise right now. But what he was calling us to do is to live a steady, consistent, steadfast walk with him that's faithful, that keeps going despite everything that happens. And my friend who wrote the song Quiet Revolution, I just want to read some of the lyrics to you. And this is my hope and my prayer for all of us this morning, is that after we leave a great year in our high school ministry, after we leave a great year in our high school fellowships, what do we do? What do we do with our time? What do we do with our attitudes? What do we do with our lives? Do we just stop because everything got excited and we just sit back and relax now because we did our part? No. And this is what I want to share, my heart, with you guys. And this is what God has been teaching me for over the past 9 years now. And the lyrics of the song are like this. Stir in my heart a quiet revolution, not a high, not a low, but conviction of faith. Stir in my heart a quiet revolution, so steadfastly I can stay. Devoted to you, even when the rains fall, even when the storm blows hard, I will not falter. Devotion to you, not depending on emotions, but rather your still voice within my heart. Stir in my heart a quiet revolution, not an automatic fire, but a gradual growing flame. Stir in my heart a quiet revolution, so faithfully I can stay. And that was something that God had to teach me. Not everything, not as youth ministers here, you know that not everything happens overnight. Not everything happens with one idea and then something great blows out of it. But what happens as youth ministers, as pastors here, you know that it takes a steadfast heart day in, day out to commit to what your conviction is, but to walk daily in that. And that's what God really had to teach me. And it's something that I've relearned and learned for so long, is that something that I truly strongly believe in, whatever your calling, whatever your purpose is here tonight, is to be faithful to that day in, day out. And a lot of times people ask me, well, how do you stay faithful to it? Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes when I'm all alone in the prayer meeting from a group of 80 to just me, how am I encouraged? How will I go on? And even in my high school, a lot of our high school fellowships, they start dwindling too. Before, we would have a lot of energy and courage and boldness to go out and share our faith. But what if we're the only one doing it? What if there's no Christians in my school? And that's a lot. That's when this day-in, day-out conviction, this day-in, day-out conviction of what God has called us to do comes into play. And is it something that we conjure up ourselves out of our own strength? It's not. The verse I want to share with you tonight is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 to 15. And it says this, "For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again." So you ask me, how do we keep this? How do we keep this celebratory? How do we keep this vision? How do we keep this running through the summer? It all boils down to you and your love relationship with the Lord. How is it with you and your love relationship with the Lord? Because what I learned in my life was that even though I was going around, even though I was ministering to these different places, my love relationship with the Lord wasn't close. I wasn't close to him. And soon enough, I was giving out of myself. And if you keep giving out of yourself, you have nothing left to give. But in the word here, it says, "For Christ's love compels us, because he died for us, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but to live for him who died for them and was raised again." And that's what God had to teach me. I had to no longer live for myself, but for those, for him who died for me and was raised again. And each day when I woke up, I had to remember, it is Christ's love that compels me to wake up. It is Christ's love that compels me to go back to my school. When nobody else is there to share the gospel, I will share the gospel, because it is Christ's love in me that compels me to do these things. It's very easy to do things on your own, but that only lasts for a certain amount of time. But what God desires is that he wants us to draw strength and to receive his love first before we can go out. I was sharing with some of my friends this week that if we want to change the world, it has to come from somewhere deeper than who we are, than the finite and fallen beings that we are. It has to come from something greater. And all of us in here, I'm sure we know that Jesus is the greatest thing, the greatest person there ever is, there ever will be. And we draw from him each day. It's Christ's love that compels us to share with our friends. It's Christ's love that compels us to take care of our mom. It's Christ's love that compels us to move on another day when maybe some of us here don't want to live another day. It's Christ's love that compels us to do these things. And my challenge and my invitation to all of you tonight is to reflect upon this past year. To reflect, you know, some of you might have had an amazing year. Some of you might have had a pretty discouraging year. But in all of that, at the end of the day, how was your walk with God? Because that is the most important thing that it all boils down to. This is the most important lesson that I'm going to continue to learn throughout my life, is that my love relationship with God dictates everything else that I do. So as I know that this is, once again, celebratory, and I don't want to be a downer, but in all that we've done this year, the work isn't done. I'm not sure if some of you were watching the news this week about the shooting at C.W. Jeffries, the high school, in the Keele and Finch area. And that in itself is a reminder for all of us that our work is not done, that our work in our high schools, that our work in our junior highs is not done. There are still so many people in our high schools and teachers and maybe international students or whoever in our schools that don't know the hope of Christ. But how can we go if we ourselves don't understand how much God loves us and we're not compelled by his love to share with others? There's still so much work to be done, and there's still so much hope for all of us to give to those who have no hope, to like that student or whoever shot that student. He or she probably had no idea, you know, who Jesus was. But we as his witness, we as his city on a hill, we as his youth on a hill, have an important mandate and have an amazing mandate to go out and to bring that hope and that light to our schools when frankly, it's very, very small right now. So my challenge to you tonight is to reflect upon your walk with Christ. How are you doing with him? How is your love relationship with God? As summer comes along, some of you might travel, some of you might have more school, or you might have other fun things to do this summer, but our work doesn't stop there. Our work doesn't stop there. There are too many people out there who don't know him for us to just take a vacation and relax. So I hope that tonight, even though we're so thankful to God for all that he has done in the past year, my prayer, my hope is that as we look back in this past year and we look forward to what happens next, that we wouldn't move on depending upon ourselves, but we would move on depending on him completely and knowing and trusting that it is his love that compels us to do things that we possibly can't do on our own, because the world so desperately needs that same realization and that same knowledge that God loves them. And I don't know about some of you here, if you walked into this place feeling maybe a little bit discouraged, maybe not right with God. Maybe you're here and you've come to these youth events all the time. You know how it goes. You know that there's worship. You know there's a speaker. And then you know that there's going to be food and games after. And you've been through the motion of these youth events. But what I want to challenge you tonight is to be real with God and to really examine your own heart and your life of how you're doing with him, so that when you leave this place, you leave compelled by his love to bring his love and his hope and his light to a world that needs it. So I just want to get all of you to just close your eyes right now, and I'm just going to lead us in a time of prayer, and maybe Andy can come up. And just spend the next few minutes just really reflecting on how are you doing with God? How are you doing in your walk with him? Get where you need to be. God, I just want to thank you so much, God, because Father God, you are an amazing God. Father, only you can satisfy, Lord, the desires of our heart. God, we just want to thank you and praise you, God, for you have been so faithful to us, God, even when we have been faithful, Lord. In the past years, Lord, in our high school fellowships and in our in our schools, Lord. We have seen you move, God. We have seen you work. Father, we know that you've allowed us to plant seeds, God. And Lord, I pray, God, that in this place, God, we wouldn't just stop there, God. That we wouldn't just say, just wipe our hands and say, this year is done. We're going to start again in September. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would build a conviction of faith in all of our hearts tonight, God. That your work and your kingdom is constantly advancing, God. It's continuing to move. And I just pray, Lord God, that you'll put in our hearts, God, desire to keep moving, a desire, Lord, to keep following up with our friends, God, to see how they're doing, God. To stay faithful to the visions and the ministries, God, that you've entrusted us with, God. Father, bottom line, God, we just pray, Lord, that we would draw near to you. Father, I pray, Lord, that every single person here knows that you are in this room right now, God, and knows that you love them, God. That you love them so deeply and so dearly, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that they would draw from that love each day, God, so that they would have your love to pour forth into the lives that they come in contact with throughout the day, God. God, we thank you for allowing us to be your vessels of your truth and your hope and your love. And I pray, God, as we leave from this place, God, we will continue, Lord, to just glow with your love and your glory, Lord, to the world that is dark.
Let's give Kat a round of applause. Thank you for sharing that wonderful story. And I just want to just reiterate what she said. You know, there's so many of you here, and if I had the chance to, I would love to hear all of your stories about the wonderful things that God has done this past year and the hopes and the visions that you guys have for the future of what he's going to do. And so I just want you guys to hold on to that. Remember the visions and the desires that he's given you and carry them forward. Some of you, a lot of people here, I think, are graduating this year. A lot of my group is graduating, which is sad. But they're leaving this year, you know, and I just pray that they keep the passion and the fire that God has given this year and move forward with it. So we have one last song that we're going to do tonight in the whole spirit of celebration. So if you guys want to stand with us. When we're done here, we got some really good stuff downstairs. There's some food and some drink and some games and stuff like that. And I'm not sure if you have to pay, but if you do and don't have any money, that guy right there will pay for you. So, yeah. Okay, so this song here has some pretty cool actions into it. Okay? And so we're going to do the actions as we sing this song.
And you're going to do the actions as
and
well.
And you guys are doing it too. It's pretty simple. How many people here can turn around?
Ben.
That pretty good? Okay. Yeah, you might need space. You don't want to knock anyone out. People here can dance? It's good? Yeah? Anyone here can smile? Sweet. Okay. So as we sing this song, let's just totally make it our anthem, you know? Let's turn. This is how we overcome.
Your grace fell like the rain and made this desert live.
Here we go.
You have turned moaning into dancing. You have turned my sorrow into joy.
The first verse again.
Your life broke through my mind, restored exceeding joy. Your grace fell like the rain and made this desert live.
Here we go.
You have morning into dancing. You have
There's some festivities and party and good stuff happening downstairs, so don't feel free that you need to leave, so hang out.
Yeah. Ow!